Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week, we'll hear a story of rescue from a boat accident from Ruth, a missionary our congregation supports in Papua New Guinea. Thank you to Dave, Don, and Janet for being part of the service. Please check out the description for a link to the video from Highland Church of Christ. The scripture reading this week is Mark 4, 35-41. There is some variability in the audio quality over the course of the service this week. We've added subtitling to our videos to help make things more intelligible. Transcripts are also available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/sermons. Happy birthday this week to Joe. Mark 4, 35-41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
I have part of Ruth's newsletter reprinted and edited, so it's not 10 pages long. And I also wrote some notes for myself, which I scrawled out, so I hope I can read them. Anyhow, Ruth is a missionary in Papua New Guinea. She has been there 30 years. I was there 11 and a half. She's from Vineland, and she's supported by Beamsville and Tintin, and Fenwick is her main sponsor. Anyhow, Ruth first came to Lae, Papua New Guinea, in 1992 for a short term. She then went back to the Highland Street Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, where Joe Cannon was there. He was the starter of the church in Papua New Guinea, and he was teaching young people how to become missionaries. Joan Roosevelt's wife started their work in Papua New Guinea in 1971. Then Ruth returned to Lae around 1994. When I was there, there were several missionary families. Now Ruth is alone, just working with the national people. She's a very brave girl, I tell you. Ruth has translated a couple of books from Pidgin from English into the Pidgin language, and has done a lot of printing work, including the several books and the song book, the Papua New Guinea song book. Ruth teaches the children and the women at the Melanesian Bible College, which is in Lae. She also started a school up in the Highlands. Jack Mesa is the leader or the principal of the Melanesian Bible College. He was visiting Canada and came here quite a few years ago with another young man. One of Ruth's works, apart from her printing and teaching those children, is hosting guests that come from overseas, usually supporters. So she has supporters from Australia, the US, and Canada. And several times they have missionary people coming from the Highland Street Church because they're the main sponsors of the original work. So this year, four people came, but one of them got delayed, so actually only three ended up. Okay, sometimes they are taken up to the High Rivers, which is a very rough road and a very rough area to go. But this time, the plan was go to Tali Island, which is just off around the corner from the coast of Plainfield on the map. You might not see Tali Island on that little map. So this time, they went to see the church there. There's quite a few Christians there. I actually went there myself one year, and I can tell you it was a very rough ride on a boat, a very small boat, and I was sure glad to get my feet on the ground. Okay, the three Highland Street men and Jack and many of his family, plus Ruth and her friend Meering lives with Ruth, were going to Tammy Island. All right, I'm going to read you part of Ruth's newsletter. A week ago, I saw an hand of God at work, clear at any other time. I left with no other option than to write this report. Not to cause anxiety for anyone reading it, but in praise of God's protection and providence. Have you ever been so awed by something that you just don't know what to do with it eventually? I'm there right now. I have no doubt that every aspect of the following story, both good and bad, are the result of prayer and God's plan to bring each of us closer to Him. So on this boat, there was really mirroring and jabbing a lot of his family. So there's several kids in here who are really mentioned in ways. That's the three elders from the Methodist Church of Christ, Highland Church of Christ. At about 7 a.m. on Friday, July the 26th, 11 of us, including men from Highland Street Church of Christ, set off to Family Island. We were each looking forward to the trip and time with the Christians of Tamiya. It took around 4 hours on calm seas to go to Balakasiga on the mainland towards Finchhaven. Before heading out for the island, the trip across takes about 30 minutes to the island. When we left the mainland, we could see the island, but it didn't take long for that to change. We later learned that the islanders realized the gale was coming up from behind the island, but were late contacting someone on the mainland who would have told us to wait. As the duration of the trip approached and passed the 30-minute mark, we were anxiously searching for the group of small islands that made up Tami. It was raining heavily, and visibility had got to the point that we couldn't see the mainland either, and the sea was getting higher and higher, and then we swamped. I remember looking down as the water rushed in and saying to my friend Miring, "Are we sinking?" Seems like a stupid question now. It was just so unbelievable at the time. I will never forget the look on Jab's face as the dinghy went under and all of our possessions started to float out. Among them was the large blue cooler that I had so carefully packed with our lunch, and she had put a lot of stuff in that blue cooler. Jab just kept saying, "Stay in the boat, don't leave the boat." Staying in, however, wasn't an option, as it soon flipped. God had been at work in advance, however. Jab was only recently received this dinghy as a present. His older dinghy would not have survived. It is one of the latest available and has a built-in flotation device, meaning it wouldn't sink. For a while, we congregated around the submerged dinghy, many of us with life jackets, in a half-worn state, and some without. Those without had been late in grabbing them, and we watched the waves carry the brightly colored vests away. At times, I missed the less complicated times before cell phones. Not that day. Between them, Jab was able to reach his son Abraham before Jab's phone sunk. At the time, we were uncertain that the message had gotten through. I had been wearing my bilum, that's a string bag which I carry sometimes around my neck, and under one arm since Malasiga. I just forgot to take it off. And Miring was able to reach in and retire my phone. But by then, it had succumbed. Even though it was sealed in a locked bag, we just had to wait and pray. The large strip of plywood that usually sits in the bottom of the dinghy soon floated to the surface, and Chanel was able to use it as a floating device. As the outboard motor filled with water, it dragged the dinghy into a vertical position with the bow standing about 3 feet above the water level. And yes, I did think of the movie Titanic, but not of the violins. Becky spent most of the time, that's Jab's wife, most of the time standing on the propeller attached to.
And several of us clung to the boys at the front of the rope that the anchor was attached to. After it was all over, Becky realized that her trousers were torn up and that she had a scratch down one leg. Thankfully, she hadn't started to bleed heavily. Those of us at the front of the boat remained unscathed. However, the large blue and gray tarpaulin that had been covering our cargo just wouldn't leave us alone. Each of us spent time getting untangled from it as it drifted around under the dinghy. You know what I mean by bleeding heavily, right, in the ocean? Jocelyn, who is in grade 4 and who is very buoyant without a life vest, excuse me, was floating off to my right, and I had to keep wringing her and pulling her back to the dinghy so she wouldn't drift off. She was tired and just didn't have it in her to hold onto the rope. I felt the same and put my right hand through the rope loop attached to the boys. Older sister Jasmine, grade 9, had been seasick before we reached Malasiga and was soon exhausted. We truly feared for her life. And Meering and I spent time holding her against the dinghy before Becky was able to swim to us and take her to the plywood. We have all admitted to having a great sense of peace throughout the ordeal. Eventually, all of the Messer family were congregated around the plywood, while Meering, Randy, and I remained with the dinghy. It really was surreal, floating there and very timeless. It seems like I had three things that kept me continuously occupied. Pulling Randy, that's one of the elders, back to the dinghy each time he started drifting. Getting the water out of my nose and throat again each time the bow was hit by a large wave. And keeping my trousers on. Every few minutes, I had to reach down and retrieve them again around my ankles. I remember looking up while we were floating and seeing a tern flying ahead. That's a seagull looking down at us. We actually made eye contact. I didn't think much of it at the time, but it's also something that I will always remember. It turns out that the tern, along with a few of his friends, gave help to us. They don't usually fly around humans, but they did that day, an answer to our prayers. About 3 hours after we had gone in, I heard a motor. I couldn't stop yelling, "Boat! Boat! Boat!" By then, Jab and the rest were quite a distance from us, but I was determined that I'd make them hear above the noise of the waves. Our rescuers were a group of young fishermen who had simply followed the terns to what they thought was a school of fish. They were very shocked when they spotted the bow of our dinghy sticking up and saw the three of us holding on. We soon were lugged over the side by some very panicked young men. Two more dinghies soon followed. They were sent out to look for us. Jab had actually succeeded in getting the message across to Abraham, his son.
One called Jab's cousin Willie, the village councillor and a fellow believer, was on the mainland at Gagadu with a disaster response team at the time, another of God's fingerprints. All of them were sent out of the ordeal relatively unscathed. We were met by villagers to suit Dr. Tammy with dry clothes and lit fires to warm ourselves around. Our sense of deep gratitude has grown even more in the last couple of days upon hearing that another dinghy also sank near us at the same time and that one of its passengers didn't make it. Remember the Turks? God used them to be help to us. Then he also used dolphins. As the boats approached, they realized that there were several dolphins swimming around us continuously. None of us had seen them, so busy. We sank in a location that is notorious for sharks. Dolphins are natural enemies of sharks and will chase them away. God used them for our protection. He was taking care of us. After worship on Sunday, a police boat from the lake came to take us back to the mainland. Jack followed in his dinghy. As I prayed for his safety, someone said, "Wow, look at that!" There was a very large rainbow starting where Malasiga is and ending at Tallinn Island. We were all awestruck and humbled by his love and care for us. With love from him, in him. So this is your beautiful newsletter. I want you to encourage you to pray for him. He's going to work for work out there. I was there 11 and a half years, she was there 30. And she's need to continue to pray. Let me see the video now. And if you have any questions afterwards, feel free to ask me and I'll try and answer them.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.